Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
How you doing today, Nima Vedati?
What it do, Michael W. Dean? I'm chilling. I am sitting literally in a basement in Salt Lake City.
That's very cosmopolitan of you, sort of.
I guess. It's not a windowless bunker. There is a window. But
what are you
in
doing
Salt
there?
Lake, in basements, they do the thing where they have like sort of an arch of metal like that juts out from the window. And so I do have a window, even though I'm in a basement.
What are you doing in Salt Lake City?
I am on the first leg of my road trip slash moving down to Texas, and I'm at my dad's place here in Salt Lake. Well, actually, technically in Draper, down on South Mountain, if any of y'all know where that is.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're done with Washington State forever?
Done. Yeah, I've washed my hands of it. It's kind of funny. My wife was always the one pushing to move to Texas, get out of Washington. Washington's lame. But she had made a lot of friends, and she was actually really sad to leave, but she still wanted to do it. I guess the grass is always greener in Texas.
Yeah.
Although, like we were saying on the last show, you know, as far as traveling with my guns go and traveling in general, I don't feel like I'm going to be harassed by the state necessarily until I get to Texas. That's the worst place I'm worried about. So I'm going to be going through all pretty much the free mountainy states, you know, Utah, Arizona, all those good places, and then I'll be in Texas, and who knows.
So I don't know what the name of this cast is, but it's going to be some variation on this great George Orwell quote I found, which is, journalism is printing what someone else does not want printed. Everything else is just public relations.
Yeah, yeah. I saw somebody holding that up at some protest. Somebody had taken a picture of it and I guess posted it on Facebook. But yeah, that is a great quote, and it's so true. You know, in real journalism, the people, they might give you a comment, but they don't want, you're not going to write it how they want you to write it, you know. But a lot of times these days, you just go talk to a few people and just say what they had wanted you to say about them.
Obama just pulled some kind of executive privilege to refuse having anyone from the Department of Justice testify in a Fast and Furious thing.
Can he? Well, I guess he can do whatever the hell he wants, but that doesn't seem very ethical or, I guess, transparent. So, what a freaking hypocrite, man. I mean, if any of you people ever thought that politics was the way to go and you were Obama humpers, just look at it now. Ask yourself, do you really still feel that way? I really hope you don't. I really hope you don't.
I mean, the thing I go back to is, you know, Richard Nixon was impeached and it was like the biggest journalism story of all time when he was, you know, having his cronies bug the offices of the Democratic Party. And that's like something that presidents and the United States government does all day long to all citizens all the time now.
Openly too. I mean, they passively bug us all the time, and they say the NSA does that. You know, there are words they look for. They have it public that they monitor all everything on the internet. You know, everything that's open to the public, they're monitoring it. So they're openly bugging all the time.
Well, bugging is going to be the operative word, because they're actually working on MAVs now, which are micro air vehicles, which are basically insect type drones that spy on people.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that on the last live show. I guess there's not any that are completed yet. Like, you're not going to, don't start killing all the mosquitoes you see thinking they're government drones just yet. Just keep your eye out. It'll probably happen eventually. I guess John Hopkins University is working on it. Of course, the funding and the research is being paid for by the U.S. Air Force. So you, the taxpayer, is paying for your own enslavement, as you tend to do all the time. And
cool.
even Michael,
cool.
You, the taxpayer, are paying for advertising Wyoming. I've been driving around Salt Lake and seeing giant Visit Wyoming signs all over Salt Lake up and down I-15.
Visit Wyoming.
Thanks,
we'll,
Michael.
We'll put you in one of our jails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Damn people. Yeah. Damn governments and the people who love them.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And, you know, whenever you go visit family, you end up talking about, you know, your beliefs in anarchism. We were watching, I don't remember what it was, but I was like, said something like, nobody should vote. We should all stop voting. My dad's like, no, it should be the opposite. Everybody should vote. And I'm like, no.
I saw some good lying on TV the other day. It was, and not sticking up for Romney, but MSNBC like edited things to make Romney look stupider than he is. You know, they do this all day long. I mean, I heard something the other day that Obama should go on MSNBC and say that, and say, don't eat yellow snow, just to have the joy of watching Fox spend a whole day telling you that why you should eat yellow snow. Romney was giving this speech somewhere and he was trying to sound like Ron Paul. You know, he was basically talking,
really?
Yeah, in favor of the free market and how government regulation is a hassle and a burden. And he, you know, which is, first of all, he's lying. And second of all, he's lying. But he gave this speech that was pretty well written. Whoever wrote it, I'm sure it wasn't him. But he was like, you ever been to Popo's, or like the name of some, insert the name of some local restaurant that serves, you know, beef sandwiches or something. And everyone's okay. Like, yay, Popo's. And he goes, well, I went in there the other day, and he gives this like really long speech about comparing someone he knows who runs a small business who said that they moved and the incredible burden of hassle they went through at the post office to change their address effectively with the post office for a business for all the different things they needed.
Yeah.
And then he contrasted it with, and you just, you know, in the free market, you just go into Popo's, you pick out the sandwich, you pay them some money, they punch some numbers into a keypad, hand you your change. It's amazing, you know, good kind of like Ron Paulish speech. I don't know if Ron Paul, but small government, you know, completely the opposite of the way he thinks. But MSNBC edited it and it went from, any of you here ever been to this restaurant, Popo's? They're great. And everyone cheers. And then it cuts to, I mean, it was amazing. You just hand them your money and they punch some numbers in. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. You know, and it just made it sound like he's never been in a restaurant that takes cash. Right. And they made a comment like that. They were like, oh, it seems like Mr. Romney's very out of touch with the common man. I don't think he's ever been in a restaurant where people pay cash.
Wow. Yeah. Completely missing the point, MSNBC. I mean, the point is what Michael said. A, he's a liar, and B, he's a liar. There was a few months ago, somebody was asking him, you know, why not do something like Ron Paul and cut $1 trillion out of the budget? And he gave the answer that, well, you know, in a recession, you don't want to take money out of the government because that will be – we wouldn't want to take $1 trillion out because then the GDP would be $1 trillion less.
Oh, speaking
just basically
of,
buying the Keynesian line government spending is actually productive.
Speaking of that, I saw your boy Paul Krugman on the Colbert Report yesterday.
Why is he night. My boy? Don't
yesterday.
Call him my boy.
I'm kidding. DJ was like, who is this guy? And I'm like, I don't know, but Nima hates him. He must be the devil. And then he started talking and she's like, God, I hate this guy.
Don't take my word for it. I'm sure you guys listened to him and figured that out for yourselves.
Well, you know, he hadn't really started talking yet. And she's like, who's this? I'm like,
okay.
I don't know, but Nima hates
nice.
Him.
Nice. I appreciate it. Yeah. He could never be my boy. Even if he was my slave, I would dismiss him. Like, sir, you're dismissed. Please go pick somebody else's cotton. I don't care what you do after you're not my slave, but
and
you
charge,
can't stay here.
Pick someone else's cotton and charge everyone for it.
Yeah. Romney's a douche, man. I
FreedomFeeds.com, 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 FreedomFeeds.com. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. FreedomFiends.com. 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 Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. FreedomFiends.com. 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 Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends.
I just hope more and more people are getting fed up with the system, but I don't know.
Everyone believes the lie.
I feel like
they're
always douches, man.
Everyone believes the lie that, well, yeah, I mean, even like the Huffington Post is bashing Obama for this executive thing of refusing anyone in his cabinet testifying in the Fast and Furious thing.
I bet they still endorse him, though.
Yeah. Because it's this, you know, well, you got to vote for somebody, and Ron Paul's crazy.
Yeah. See, if only we see, that's the main thing. You got to get rid of that. You got to vote for somebody. Well, we got to have a government. You know, I was talking to somebody here, and they're like, "Well, you know, if we didn't have a government, everybody would be shooting themselves all the time." Mm. And I was like, "Really? Do you think people don't shoot other people just because the cops are there? You're saying if there weren't cops, people would go out and just shoot everybody they saw? Do people really believe that? A and B." I've never said that there shouldn't be any cops. There shouldn't be any government cops, right?
I jokingly say that if there weren't any police, some of my neighbors would shoot me because I don't put a flag out on Flag Day.
Yeah, but you you would have the ability to shoot them back, right?
Hey, do you know about the peace flag? This is pretty interesting. No. The United States has two official flags. One is the flag that is ours, and one is a similar flag, but the stars, the blue on white is reversed. It's blue stars on a white border, I think. Let me look it up. But that's the flag you're supposed to fly during peacetime, and the flag that we fly is supposed to be the one you fly during wartime.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I know magic worders always try to use that and say, oh, there's the flag of the Admiralty there, so I do not accept this court's jurisdiction and stuff like that.
Is the flag that people normally know as like the main flag? That's the flag of Admiralty.
Yeah, yeah. Which sounds like war to me.
Yeah, there's actually a King of the Hill where Dale Gribble is in court, and he's pulling that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, but I don't know if this is about Admiralty. This is about that's the flag of war, and the peace flag is what you're supposed to fly during peace. But it looks a lot like the American flag, but it looks so weird that I think if you flew it, you know, the neocons in your neighborhood and flag humpers would probably go, "What's that flag you're flying, boy?" And,
yeah.
And they wouldn't even know that it's the official flag of the United States, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because they're idiots. Like when somebody tried to call out John McCain on his dad covering up, was it the USS Liberty? That naval ship that was shot down, and I don't know if it was sunk, but it was a lot of people were killed. A lot of American sailors were killed by Israel. And the American government covered it up. Somebody was asking John McCain about it. And all the Republican idiots there start chanting USA, USA, and telling him to boo and get off. But all he was trying to bring up was that Israel killed a bunch of Americans. So why would you chant USA to boo him off stage? Why don't you chant Israel or something?
Yeah.
They just don't even understand what it is. If somebody is a congressman, if somebody lives in Washington, D.C., we must all hail him and chant USA.
You know, I've seen a lot of like really small government patriot types lately. I don't know if they're flying the flag like this at home, but they are on the internet. They have their icon as a U.S. flag upside down, which is interesting and kind of brave, I think, because a lot of people think that's about like burning a flag, you know, like, oh, you're displaying it wrong, and that means you hate it. It doesn't. It means any flag flown upside down means you're in distress. You know, like if you're on a boat and you're being held by pirates and you can get away with it, you put your flag upside down.
It sort of is a call for help.
Yeah. American Records, the label, their logo is an upside down American flag. I don't know if that's the reason, but which I always thought was interesting. Like, you know, how do you do that? And like, I didn't know what it meant. And I was like, how do you do that and get Johnny Cash on your label? He was pretty patriotic in his own weird way, you know, but he probably knew what it was. He probably knew what it meant.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. Do you have any idea what Johnny Cash's politics were? I mean, I know people who are patriots and rednecks tend to love him, but it doesn't mean that he is.
I have a feeling that his politics were kind of, I love my country, but I'm really sad about my government, probably throughout his whole life. He has a song that I really like called The Man in Black, and it's basically like Why I Wear Black. It's a really touching song. He's basically, like, he's worn black his whole life. He's called The Man in Black. And the lyrics are basically like, you know, I wear black until, you know, once things are fixed, I'll wear bright colors. But until then, I'm wearing black.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
I did not know that about him. I thought it was some kind of catchy song.
Nope. So they had their third reading of the smoking ban here in Casper. I'm looking at the the Prairie Pravda.
I'm betting they passed it.
I don't know. I'm still getting past the part where one of the witnesses they had, who was a guy who was against it, who got up and sang a song he wrote, and they said he was the most entertaining witness we've ever had. And then probably went. He sang a song about family members who've lost their lives or struggle with addiction because of smoking. But the chorus is, "I can't let go of my liberty."
People so confused. Yeah, yeah. What it's my right to not have people smoking where I'm at.
No. This guy was opposed to the ban.
Oh, he was opposed to the ban.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I have family members that have died of, you know, his song was basically saying like, yeah, I have family members who've died of cancer and good. But I can't let go of my liberty.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Let's see. Keith Goodenough, councilman, declared a conflict of interest again because he owns Tipsy Limo, which could stand to benefit financially if people left Casper to visit smoking bars in other communities. Interesting.
That is interesting.
I think a lot of times people try to find a conflict of interest to get out of a really controversial vote. I know Gerald Gay did.
Yeah.
Some gun thing.
Yeah, that's a politician thing. Although, I wonder, does Keith Goodenough also abstain from any votes related to that? I mean, would he abstain from voting on cops, you know, taking blood tests from people for DUIs, things like that?
I don't know. Let's see. Sponsors would need to collect 1,896 signatures to place the issue on the ballot. As it stands, the ordinance prohibits smoking in restaurants, bars, and private clubs, among other places. It also bans smoking within 10 feet of public facility entrances and ventilation systems.
See, I'd like to see some people as a protest just all sit at the city council meeting and light up giant stages.
I was thinking of it last night. when DJ told me this thing was happening, I said, let's go down there and smoke. And she's like, oh, it's probably over already.
Yeah, I mean, smoke and say, hey, consent of the governed, right? Public property. I own this as much as you do, Keith Goodenough.
So if this passes, you said Kanye Schlager. You could get a $750 fine.
What?
Yeah.
Almost a freaking G?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is. But they're suggesting a lower one. $50 fine for the first offense, $100 for a second, and $750 for additional violations.
And now, is that for the smoker themselves or for the property owner, like the bar?
Probably both if they don't kick you out if you light up.
Wow.
And it sounds like, you know, if it's a public bill, like if you work for the government and you have to go out to smoke, you're going to have to stand like out in the street instead of standing in front of the building because you'll be within 10 feet of the ventilation intake.
Yeah. And Casper gets freaking cold, man. I mean, I know. Casper's not a place you want to have to go outside to smoke.
I know. They're trying to train you. That's what they're doing.
They are. And from my experience in Casper nightlife, there are plenty – most places you have to go outside to smoke anyway. I mean, they're trying to solve a problem that the free market already took care of. At the Wonder Bar, we would always go outside to smoke. At Karen and Jim's, our favorite karaoke spot, we would always go outside to smoke. I don't remember anybody ever smoking inside of those places, and those are the two main hot spots to go to. You know, I guess I went to, the Downtown Grill once or twice, and people stand outside to smoke. So why even go as far to make a law? Is it just revenue padding? I mean, I don't understand. People don't smoke there already.
The singer who got up and testified against the law is named Jesse Boyd. Do you know who that is? He looks familiar.
His name sounds familiar, but everybody in Wyoming has similar names.
Yeah. You know, I can't even, I'm like scanning this article and I can't even see like where it's at. Like, I'm sure they voted. Tuesday's vote may not end a process that began more than 6 months ago as preparing for a referendum. In anticipation of that effort, the council in the work session considered delaying the ban's effective date. Laws typically take effect. I don't even know. It's, they spent so much time talking about this singer and how entertaining he was, and they're still going to do what he's not saying, do against what he says. But I can't even quickly look at that article and see what happened. But yeah. I'm sure it's marching on. Did you know that Casper had a vote on this about 10 years ago, and overwhelmingly people voted against it. Yeah, people voted against it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't. They just don't care, man. I mean, cities do that all the time. Not just cities. All governments do it. If the public doesn't want something, you know, you just shut your mouth for a couple election cycles and then try it again later.
I just lit my cigarette.
It's the slow march of tyranny. It doesn't stop.
I just lit a cigarette.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yep.
I was also going to say, I mean, why don't bar owners just say, hey, no cops allowed in my bar, so you guys can't enforce this stupid smoking law.
You know, I saw this insane video 2 days before Porkfest, you know, like 4 or 5 days ago, in Keene, New Hampshire. Ian's house got raided by the fire marshal and two goons who had a warrant to do a fire safety exam of his house.
Wow.
And it was because of an anonymous tip from a neighbor who said that they had more people living there than is publicly allowed. And the anonymous tip said they knew that by watching videos that had been filmed in this house. And I'm like, how do you know who lives there and who's just hanging out, you know?
Seriously, I mean,
his house is kind
jealous because he's more popular than you.
His house is a kind of a, you know, pulse point of people hanging out. It's where you go to hang out.
Oh, totally. I seem to recall, isn't one of his neighbors like on the city council or something and is always harassing him? And usually when it's a complaint from a neighbor, they figure it's going to be that city council person that lives next to them.
I don't know, but probably. But they've got it down. It's like the guy showed up at the door, and whoever's filming it is answering the door, filming with a camera in their hand. And then while they're walking around, there's like two or three other roommates with cameras jump in and start filming it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, and of course the goons had a video camera too.
Yeah, yeah.
a Mexican standoff with video cameras.
The new dueling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They should all just buy those HD Pro helmet cams and wear on their heads. That way you don't be recording all the time, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Although, you know, there is that guy that got pulled off his motorcycle and almost shot by a cop. But it's not because he was filming. He happened to be filming. I don't think the cop even noticed it.
Right. He happened to have some kind of helmet cam or something.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends Live is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com or leave a message after the show at 765-27-FIENDS.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks, you can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, because that video was scary. The guy wasn't wearing his uniform. Can you imagine some guy pulling a gun on you? I think we talked about this before. I would be reaching for my gun, too.
Yeah.
If that guy on the motorcycle, you know, if he happened to be somebody who carries.
And, you know, you might be dead. But in my situation, he'd be dead and me or my wife would be in jail probably because you know, we both carry, and it's pretty hard for one person to cover two people with guns. You know, if DJ was driving and she got pulled over by a guy who didn't look like a cop, you know, who pulled in front of her and then pulled out a gun, I would shoot him. You know, mm-hmm. I'd be like, you're pointing a gun at my wife. I would instantly shoot him.
Yeah.
And then later, you know, and he didn't identify as a cop for a while.
No.
And anybody who's not in uniform could identify as a cop, or people could buy uniforms. You know, you can go to uniform stores and buy a cop uniform.
Like Mitt Romney used to do.
Did he?
Yeah, did you hear about that?
No.
Somebody came out with a story that apparently in Romney's college days, although I didn't think he bought the uniform. I think he got it – like his dad had it as a favor from some actual goon. And Romney got a hold of it. And in his high school and college days, it was a hobby of his to pull people over and act like a cop.
Really?
Yes.
That's even more like – foretelling of the future than Obama taxing his friend's joints.
Yeah, doing the interception on the joint. Obama just stole your weed, but Romney actually tried to be a police state.
Really? What would he do? Would he ticket people? Would he scare them? Would he tell them he's not
a
cop?
I think he would scare them and warn them. I don't think – it didn't mention that he had stolen like a notepad or some kind of actual tickets to
write. He would pull people over and warn them. In what? His car?
I think he also had a little light. Let's see. Google it. I had the story here.
Did you know that you're not legally required in most states to pull over for somebody with a little flashing bubble light on their top? It's only if they have like the crossbar, you know, with the red, white, and blue on it.
Yeah, yeah. How long has that been though? Because this was in Romney's college days.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Although most people pull over anyway. I would not, especially if I was in the middle of nowhere. I'd drive to a police station and call 911.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I definitely would not pull over. All right. So, yeah, I looked up a little bit more information on Mitt Romney acting like a cop to prank people and I guess also intimidate them. I guess some of his friends say he had done it a few times, but there's one specific story that has been corroborated by multiple friends where he let's see, according to Boston Globe reporters Michael Cranish and Scott Hellman, Romney put a siren on top of his car and chased two of his friends who were driving around with their dates. The two friends were in on the scheme, but the dates, the girls, were not.
Oh,
there was beer in the car trunk, according to the prearranged plan. The two counterparts got out of the vehicle and got into his car. So he acted like he was arresting the two guys, and they left the girls. They drove off with the beer and the two guys and left the girls behind to, I guess, fend for themselves. So what a douche. And apparently Romney's trying to cover for it on his wiki page. According to crooksandliars.com, on his wiki page, he's given himself some cover by claiming that he worked as a security guard during his first year in college to pay for his trips home. That doesn't seem to jive much either, because apparently the police officer uniform he was using was a Michigan police uniform, not a security guard uniform. And also, I mean, isn't his dad like a multimillionaire? Would he really have to get a part-time job to pay for his trips home?
I know.
So, Romney is a freaking creep, man. I mean, I guess that's obvious, but why don't you people think about that? You know, if you're planning on voting for either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, don't just say, you know, hey, you gotta vote for somebody. Why vote for a creep? Why vote for evil?
The lesser of two evil creeps.
Well, yeah, yeah. Why pick turd sandwich or diarrhea taco? You know,
diarrhea taco.
You don't have to pick either.
Awesome.
Withdraw your consent, man. I mean, fuck it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I don't get is, I guess it really is the state propaganda that just instills in your head that without this, that this is a necessary, even if it's not an evil, but it's necessary to have these people that control us, or we would all be killing each other and raping each other constantly, and we would just have a horrible society. But the government does all that stuff to us now. I was talking to one of my good friends, a young girl who I basically grew – I didn't really grow up with her, but I saw her all the time when I was here. She's very close to the family. And I didn't know this, but she had tried to start a business recently, about a year ago. She had worked really hard. She went to school to be a massage therapist, and she got the entrepreneurial – and so she went through all the work. She said she spent around $8,000 doing all the licensing and everything, because you have to have a special license here in Utah to be a massage therapist. You have to make to make sure
you're not one of those California type massage therapists.
Exactly. No, and that's
it's
part
all
of the
Mormons.
Story too.
Yeah, I can only imagine what like Mormon laws there are there. Mormon
right,
Sharia.
Right.
Mormon well, Sharia.
And get this, the way it apparently works, and I'm guessing it's like this in a lot of cities, is you have to pretty much have everything set up before you try to get your license. So yeah. you have to have the building, you have to have pretty much everything set up, you have to have the fire department come in and check everything out, then you have to ask the government if you're allowed to have a business there after you've spent all that money. If they say no, what the hell do you do? You're just out all of that. In her case, they said yes, so she was able to start her business. But apparently, it was really bad timing because the cops were doing a crackdown on massage parlors, basically raiding them and stuff. And she got raided. The cops busted into her place, arrested her and some of her, employees. They weren't really employees; they're kind of independent contractors, kind of like a hair salon. They arrested her, charged her with soliciting, as in prostitution, and also charged her with operating a massage parlor without a license, but she had just gotten her license. And so the prosecutor apparently told her, hey, we'll drop the soliciting, we'll just keep it without a license and, take this plea deal. And she was like, no, I have a license. You're looking at it right now. My license is in front of you. Why the hell would I do that? And they're like, fine, well, you can just take it to court. And so she spent months in court. She had to pay for her own lawyer. She still owes the lawyer money. I guess the cops didn't end up going to testify eventually. So the judge dismissed it. But for some reason, the charges are still there. So she technically has a soliciting charge on her in Utah, which anybody knows in Utah, if they do a background check and they come up with anything related to soliciting, it's going to be pretty hard to find a job here in, Mormon people.
Wow. Yeah, and it's pretty hard to sue cops for unlawful arrest, and they know that, and I think they often will arrest you knowing it's going to get thrown out after you pay a bunch of money to a lawyer.
Yeah, but you're still screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was going to be like, well, is there anything you can do? I mean, what can you do? What are you going to do, sue the government and have a government judge decide who wins? No.
There's some statism. There's some statism that really disgusted me on this. I'm going to post this video. It's called KAC, Keene Activity Center, raided by city bureaucrats, June 14th, 2012. There's a couple people on here, and I've checked their posts on other videos on YouTube. I mean, basically, they're like, I think they might be neighbors in Keene. I don't know. But one is Maximum Full Power is his username, and another is Running Wolf Ken Poe. And they're like, these activists are living in an unsafe environment. They finally got burned by their own videos. That idiot activist whining and crying about everything would rather see his buddies burn up than admit he was wrong. That house is a fire trap and an eyesore. There's junk all over the yard, including cars, and the house looks awful. The sad thing is the neighbors have to look at that every day. If that rat hole ever went up in flames, the fire department wouldn't be able to put it out. Which sounds like a tacit threat of arson to me, but, a subtle one. And then there's another one that says, now this was a very funny video of the Keene Activity Center getting checked for code violations. It's no surprise the residence looks like a complete shithouse both inside and out. It doesn't look shitty inside. I mean, there's like things, like it looks like they've been working on videos and stuff and talking and then went to sleep and got woken up before they got a chance to clean up.
Yeah.
It looks like a house where people live.
Where people live and work. Yeah.
Seeing Ian, especially being pissed off on this, was a Kodak and priceless moment that he may eventually might learn to pick his fights better. That sounds like someone who's involved to me,
Like
our neighbors have a car in their yard. We're going to call government guns at them and then laugh at them on the internet.
Yeah. I just don't understand. the level of horizontal enforcement. I guess you have to, right? Because you feel like if I have to follow all these rules, if my life sucks, I want to make sure yours does too. It's the crab mentality, like in the Boondocks, right? The crabs in the bucket, the metaphor with the crabs will always pull the other crabs down when a crab is trying to get out of the bucket. So maybe that's it.
Is that true?
That crabs do that? I don't know. You know, ask Frank. I'll ask my little brother. I'm going to see him soon. He goes crabbing. Yeah. He likes to go crabbing down there on the Texas City dike. Yeah, makes some funny songs about it like Frank does. But I'm going to see Frank here soon. We're going to go to Lake Powell, man, and just lamp and sit there and chill in the man-made lake there.
Why is chilling called lamping?
I don't know. I guess because lamps stay still.
Because you're like a lamprey eel.
There you go. Yeah, and you're just feeding off somebody else.
You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.
So no. we're talking about Alex Jones being like Cartman.
I've always thought that. I guess you just want to start more pod beef, but
I don't know. Here's the thing. I've been really thinking about that episode that Ben Quaker did where he, basically shot down a bunch of beliefs about people's so-called proof that the government is spraying things on us from airplanes.
Right. And he wasn't shooting down their beliefs. He wasn't saying, hey, the government is not, most definitely not spraying us with chemtrails. He was saying, the government may be doing this.
He's saying Alex Jones tries to prove it by interviewing some grandma sitting on her porch who says, yep, look at that. It's true because I can see those lines up there in the sky. And basically, Ben really well enunciated a thing that I've had in the back of my mind for a long time that I've never really heard anyone say, which is, I believe the government capable of doing all these things, you know, based on past experience, and all governments, but our government in particular. I don't doubt that they may have been behind 9/11. I don't doubt that they may be spraying, you know, brain toxins on us to make us compliant or test, you know, diseases on us, because they've done it before. Mm-hmm. And it's fact. I don't doubt that, they would plant undercover people in the Occupy Wall Street and try to start a riot because they had a whole division of the CIA to do that in the 60s. Yeah. But the proof that's presented by a lot of people who are truthers for various things and the level of religiosity of their proof when it's not proof at all is just stunning to me. When I start a conversation with some of these people and they're like, no, you're wrong and you're part of the government because you don't believe that chemtrails are proven by the fact that sunsets are orange, you know? I want more proof. I want more proof. And Alex Jones here's the thing about Alex Jones. About 20% of what he says is probably true, and he's probably the first guy to say it ever. The other 80% of what he says is probably a mixture of not true, made up, total horse hockey, and stuff that's like, or exaggerations. Yeah. One of the things is the people who burn the owl, or what do they do?
The cremation of care. That was the first Alex Jones video I ever saw. Yeah. And just
which
thought
is
it was
described,
ridiculous.
Describe who does that and what it is, and then I'll tell you my opinion on it.
I'm guessing he's saying it's members of the Illuminati, but basically it's like a bunch of rich people. He goes in and tries to guerrilla shoot video of them on this weekend retreat, I guess they do annually. And they have this
at
ceremony.
Bohemian Grove in California, which
Bohemian
is like
Bohemian Grove.
Isn't it in a public park, but it's a private part of a public park or something like that?
It may be. You're more familiar with California than I am. But that's what it looks like. and they do this thing called the cremation of care. And the movie is basically Alex Jones trying to get in and sensationalizing things that don't seem sensational. And one of them is that they burn in effigy this giant figure that they call Care. And when me and my college roommate saw it, we were thinking, okay, so they don't care. They don't give a fuck anymore.
I know. To me,
symbolizing them relaxing for the weekend. Big fucking deal.
To me, it looks like a corporate retreat team building exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally what it looks like.
For rich people.
And again, we're not saying that maybe these people do have evil intentions. Maybe they are up to no good. That's entirely possible. But show us that. Show us, prove to us that they're doing. Don't just show us, hey, a bunch of rich people, all of the richest people in this part of the world got together and burned something in effigy on a
in front of a giant wooden owl. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then just say because it's an owl and that's a symbol of the Illuminati and the occult, so it must be evil.
You know, there's that
evil how?
There's a Dead Kennedy song called I Am the Owl that's from about 30 years ago that's basically about, you know, government seditious parts of the government. Well, we say that's the whole government, but you know, basically about like people spying on citizens and on politicians, and it's about torture and all of the hidden stuff. And there's a lot of videos, several videos on YouTube that use that song now and illustrate it with stuff from Illuminati things because they supposedly use the owl as their symbol. I don't think that's what they were going for in that song. I think they were, you know, the owl is a night-dwelling creature that is a predator that, you know, swoops down and grabs smaller creatures and takes them away and kills them. That's what I think it was.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. But the owl is big in the symbolism for that whole occult and Illuminati.
Supposedly there's an owl on the back of the $1 bill. Have you ever looked for it?
Never looked for that, but I know in Austin, Alex Jones' home location and where I used to live.
And where you're moving in about a day.
Where I'm moving very soon. They have this giant skyscraper they built, five, 6 years ago. I think it's a Chase Bank building. Some bank or some big financial institution owns the building. And it's tall. It's the biggest building in the skyline now. And if you look at it diagonally, it does look like an owl. I don't know if that's intentional, but they always say that. Oh, the banksters built that to be the owl watching over us. But it's got like clock faces on each side. So if you look at it diagonally, it's like a triangle. And then you see the eyes and all that stuff. I don't know. I'm not into all that stuff. And it does look creepy if you look at it. But a lot of giant buildings can be in that sort of brutalist architecture.
Did we talk about brutalist architecture?
We did.
Yeah. Great term.
which I'm seeing all over Salt Lake because a lot of the Mormon temples here are in that sort of a style, very imposing.
Well, I think the Mormons had no love for the federal government, and I think they tried to create their own kingdom there. So it's not surprising that they would create church-related buildings that look like government buildings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one here in Draper looks almost like the Federal Reserve in its style.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh. But I don't know. I don't like to get into theology much either, just because it's never really been my interest.
Well, it's a state. I mean, it's less so than it used to be. Now they use the state and try to elect people like Romney and Bush to push their Christian Sharia, but the church used to be the state for, you know, over 1,000 years. I mean, it started out really small. You know, in 100 AD, the church wasn't much, but by about 1,000 AD through about 1700 AD, or, you know, 800 AD through about 1800 AD, the church was the state.
Yeah, yeah.
In England and America.
The other interesting thing, I guess I will talk a little bit about theology. There's one very interesting thing I find about Mormon theology that allows for more flexibility than systems in the past is technically they believe that whoever is their current church president or the prophet, they call him a prophet.
You talking about Mormons or
Catholics?
Mormons. Okay.
Mormons. And he actually – they believe he can actually talk to God still. So whenever something happens current or there's a change in the modern world, they can actually change what God says about something.
But don't they vote that guy in?
I believe they do. I'm not sure.
Or is it kind of like picking the Dalai Lama, like he's already there from birth and they find him and vote him in?
I don't know how they justify it. I'm sure there's some level of mysticism mixed with some kind of bureaucratic process, but I don't know the details. But I do know an example of when they used this. It was when there was controversy. I think it was with BYU and the football team a few years ago. Something about how black people can't really go to heaven, or at least Mormon heaven. And, you know, caused quite a stir. And the prophet at that time, to be more PC, said, oh, well, God changed his mind, basically, was the gist of it. Since they have a prophet who can talk to God, they say, oh, well, you know, God changed his mind. Blacks, sure, whatever.
Alex Jones probably has something to say about that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
I've talked to several people who've said their journey to liberty was Alex Jones to Ron Paul to the Freedom Fiends.
Nice, nice.
You know, constitutionalism to constitutionalism to screw the Constitution.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed silver dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends silver dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says silver dime cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. Freedomfiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit freedomfiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
Well, natural rights, I don't even know what Alex Jones' politics are. Does he talk about that? Is he a constitutionalist? I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Although, so he wants to take the republic back in some kind of sense. Is that it? I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I guess this whole thing is that there's some international cabal before
the UFOs land and take over Congress.
Right.
I got a book recommendation. I heard Boston talking about it. I heard Boston interviewed on Free Talk Live from Porkfest yesterday, and he did a shout out to me, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, he wrote a book. I've read all his books, and this was kind of the most confusing one to me, but I have trouble reading facts. You know, my brain skips around a lot. So people who are more solid minded than me could probably get something more out of it. It's a book called Hologram of Liberty. And his basic idea is that, the Constitution was never intended to limit government. And there were a couple of weasel words inserted in there by Hamilton and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
To allow for unlimited growth. Basically, they wanted to be the kings of the new country, and they couldn't because everyone was still, like, you know, had the blood of revolution dripping from their teeth and were smiling about it, and you know, from killing all the king's men, and they didn't want another king. But the people who secretly wanted to be kings, mainly Washington and Hamilton and a couple others, basically, you know, put these weasel words in, these lawyers put these lawyer words in. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, I mean, all you have to do to think about that is the Bill of Rights wasn't the first part of the Constitution. That was added later as sort of a nod to the people like Jefferson, who were like, hey, wait a minute, this Constitution, this doesn't look like a very freeing document. So they wrote up, and it also seems like a lot of the Constitution was a lot of compromises between sort of the more libertarian thinking of the founding fathers and the Hamiltonian, so to speak. So from the very beginning, it was flawed. And don't even just take my word for it. Read it. I mean, there are – it's not just weasel words. It says in plain language, to provide for the general welfare. If your government is going to provide for the general welfare, how the hell do you think it's going to do that? It's going to have to steal some money from people. It's going to have some way of
That was even a given. That was even a given in the original Constitution that the, you know, the people who did not want a king were fine with. They were fine with, you know, taxation as long as there was representation. But it was even more so than that.
So
it was more so than that. I mean, there were like inklings of, you know, executive power and creating two governments, you know, the main one and a shadow one and a few other things. It's a really interesting book. And Boston is not one of those, like, you know, sovereign citizen magic word people. He doesn't offer a solution of, you know, you need to change your name and put it in all caps or any crap like that. I mean, his solution is a nation of riflemen, and always has been. And that's been a big inspiration for me. Although, you know, listening to Ben Stone has kind of tempered that. I've turned into a peace loving hippie with a bunch of guns, but
So Hologram of Liberty, I think you've been talking about that before.
Yeah,
I should probably check that out.
Yeah, the tagline for my gun training DVD, they, you know, MVD asked me to come up with one when I sent in the final files the other day, and I said peace, love, and guns.
Nice. Yeah I dig it. Although I guess the thing with the Constitution is I don't feel like I need any more proof that it's completely bunk, and that not only was it not having the best of intentions, but even if it did have the best of intentions, even if you wrote a constitution saying the government is not allowed to tax us or steal our money or create a monopoly police force, it's not allowed to exist in any regard, I wouldn't trust a document to ensure that. I wouldn't be like, oh, well, we can vote for people as long as they promise to, you know, swear to Jesus or whoever
I'll just abide by this. I'll just put the tip in, baby.
I'll just put the tip in. Yeah. I don't buy that.
Let's take a break. So, Nima, on our little break, I just did a total, like, one of those old guy absent-minded things.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
Although they're not really old man, because you do them too. But that could be stoned man. I don't know. I went in the kitchen. I got a soda. I noticed the cat dish was empty. So I picked the cat dish up, filled it with cat food. And instead of setting it back down where the cats eat, I carried it into my bedroom and set it down next to my mixer, like where I eat my cereal while I'm checking my email.
Right. You were going to crunch on some kibble.
Nice. Yep. So we had a discussion, speaking of the Revolutionary War and my gun training video. You actually helped me with some notes on the trailer. I uploaded some rough cuts of it, and you gave me some good notes, shortening some things and such. One of the things was I kind of redo something from the Guns and Weed movie in there, that statue of the Minuteman that we have in the movie. We have it, we have your brother turning into the Minuteman. It's like your brother holding a rifle in the same pose.
And holding a Mosin.
And
with a great line. I think the line on that is the Patriots at Concord didn't have the Second Amendment.
The Patriots at Lexington Concord didn't have the Second Amendment, but they knew they didn't need it or something like that.
Yeah,
which is
something great.
You know, our response to Constitution humpers who were like, well, we have the right to guns, they're in the Bill of Rights. And it's like, no, at Lexington Concord, they not only didn't have the Bill of Rights, they were committing treason by having guns. I mean, the Revolutionary War was largely, it was about taxation and taking away guns.
Yeah. Take that, Republican status. They were breaking the law. those laws that you all get your panties wet over. They were breaking them.
Yeah. And they venerate those people. And if you ask Republican status, they'll say, yeah, we know that. But that was the last time it was okay.
Right. It's okay when they did it. That's how you know somebody is intellectually dishonest or doesn't understand logic. When it's okay if somebody did something a long time ago, but if somebody else now does the same thing, or if somebody were to do it in the future, then it's wrong. You know, consistency.
And if you ask Democrats about that, you know, they'll say that the last time it was legitimate to break a law was when Martin Luther King did it.
Ah, yeah, yeah, civil disobedience during the – but I mean, what about civil rights?
And those same – first of all, a lot of Democrats, the original Democrats were the KKK, but it's kind of flip-flop now where the kind of subtly racist ones are the Republicans, and the we hate racism are the Democrats, even though they enact a lot of laws that punish brown people more and they bomb brown people. But the Democrats, you know, if you ask them about that, a lot of times they'll say, well – yeah, Martin Luther King broke the law, and that was good. But now we should work within the system because that's the way to do it. And you know, if you bring and those same people often think that the Second Amendment is something from a bygone era that isn't needed anymore. But then if you mention to those people that Martin Luther King applied for a concealed carry permit and got turned down, it just, they're like, oh, I need a source on that. I don't believe you.
I didn't know that. Is it really?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Wow. 'Cause he was getting death threats daily. Yep. And wow. He tried to get a concealed carry permit and got turned down by the local sheriff.
Turned down. Wow. Wow. No. Although guns being for, Martin Luther King, I kind of feel like he would have done it anyway, right?
He probably did it anyway. I know that he had people, you know, very close supporters living at his house, sleeping on, you know, sleeping downstairs on the couch with rifles.
Nice. Nice.
Which, I wonder if one of them was Jesse Jackson. End, I wonder if Jesse Jackson was carrying a gun for Martin Luther King. Because Jesse Jackson was not only very close to him, but the famous picture of Martin Luther King right after he got shot or is about to get shot. There's a picture of him on a hotel balcony, and Jesse Jackson is standing next to him.
Ah, huh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that, no. I sometimes need to brush up on my recent history.
Or just watch more Boondocks because they mentioned that in there.
Ah. Is that the episode where it ends up Martin Luther King didn't die when he got shot? He was just in a coma. And then he wakes up and BET throws him a party and he goes off on them for how ridiculous they all are?
No. That's funny. Not, I didn't think I saw that one.
Yeah. You got to watch that one. It's great. Might be one of the banned episodes. I'm not sure that you can only get on the DVD. Because yeah. there are a few that I think Viacom told Cartoon Network not to actually play on the air.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, that image with the statue of the Minuteman at Lexington and Concord, which is, you know, in Massachusetts somewhere, that statue, which is kind of ironic because that's the hardest state to own a gun. One of the hardest states to own a gun in is the cradle of liberty fought for by guns with guns.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Idiots. But you were asking me whether or not to
use it.
That kind of image. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of like, well, you know, we're anarchists and this is an anarchist thing. And is that going to look like some kind of Tea Party thing to minarchists or something and they'll hate it? And what did you say?
Well, I mean, I guess the way I feel about it is you're already talking about the non-aggression principle. That's in the title of all things. So I feel like you've already made that clear.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Well, here's my thing is I have no problem using that image. I really thought about it. You know, first of all, I was like, well, what will people think? And I was like, I don't care what people think. And, you know, anybody who's some kind of minarchist and not an anarchist is probably going to like that because they still kind of cling to those patriotic images. But to me, the image of the Minuteman holding the rifle is a more valid and important image than like the American flag or the Constitution or support our troops, because I really believe that the Revolutionary War was the only ethical war ever fought in America or by America.
Why?
Because it was completely fighting aggression. You know, there was no nation building. There was no empire building. Well, I guess there was. It was building their own empire.
Yeah.
But all the problems that I can see with every other war that America's been involved in did not exist in that war.
The problem. I don't have enough of a historical context, but were people? I mean, if people were pressed into service, wouldn't that be immoral? Were there people pressed into service? Weren't there? I mean, didn't some of the American armies, you know, commandeer farms of people who didn't consent to it? Things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, whenever there's anything as large as a war, it's pretty impossible to defend the whole thing collectively.
Right, right.
Right.
Because it's collectivized. A war is yeah. collective violence. I mean, as an anarchist or an individualist even, you don't even have to be an anarchist, but as an individualist, when you collectivize anything, be it violence, war, an economy, a market, that's where the problem lies. Because then there are people doing things that aren't based on their individuality, that aren't their individual choices. And the collective is more important than the individual. And the ends normally tends to justify the means in those kind of situations. The ends that are collective ends, you know. Well, we need a society like this.
I don't have a defense. I'm looking at my cat. He looks like a tribble. Really, a fuzzy looks. Every year we take Fuzzy in because he gets really matted. There's no way to brush that cat because he doesn't like to be brushed. There's no way to brush that cat to where he doesn't have mats. So of our three cats, he's the one that we take into the vet once a summer, and they drug him and shave him, and he comes home looking like a shaved rat and kind of stumbling around because he's drugged, and then he's happy and fine, and you know, he's good. We usually do it a little earlier. And I called the other day and I'm like, yeah, can we bring him in today? And they're like, no, the next available appointment is July 10th. I'm like, okay, we'll be there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Our dog's completely shaved. He's a Malamute. We had him shaved. It took the groomers 5 hours.
You did it yourself last year, didn't you?
Yeah, and it took about 3, and it was awful. It was the worst experience we ever had with our dog.
That's one thing I'm totally willing to pay someone else to do who has experience with it, because dogs and cats have really soft – their skin is very thin, so it's easy to cut them or hurt them while you're shaving them.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never done that, but I've heard that. And
well, our dog's hair is like 4 inches long, and it's thick, and he's double-coated. Malamutes are a double-coated breed. So all of their, like, undercoat is basically like sheep wool. It's really thick and like, matted, not matted, but it's very thick and hard to cut, and apparently you shouldn't shave Malamutes. We were reading on it afterwards, and that's apparently a no-no. Like, they can have problems and grow their coats back.
If the vet did it, they must know better.
Well, hopefully. It wasn't a vet. It was like a local groomer, and... I don't know. He was just starting out, so maybe he didn't know what the case was, and I don't know. I mean, we were going to pay him money, so we were giving him business, and it was a new business. So I could definitely see him, even if he might not have known, or he might just thought, well, this is what the customer is asking for. I'm going to give them what they pay for, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think a professional should do something harmful to the animal if they know better. They should know better.
Yeah. I'm guessing he didn't know better is what I would think, because, I mean, I didn't know better. Seems like it makes sense, right? You shave the dog and he's going to be cooler if you live in a hot climate. I mean, there are dogs that are used to living in Alaska. But apparently, even in a hot climate, their coats are pretty amazing. Like, they're set up to keep cool when it's hot. Like, they won't get sunburned. The top layer is, like, a specific color. It's usually darker, and then the under layer is white. So somehow it works out to where they can still be cool even in hotter climates. And, you know, Malamute coats are really cool. They keep them – they're pretty much self-cleaning. Like, our dog, we never have to bathe him. He can go roll in the mud, and in a day, it'll all have, like, whisked itself away somehow.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiends show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Freedom Fiends Live. call in soon before we get droned.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Do you know Greg Yow? Guy named Greg Yows?
You were cutting up there. What did you say?
Do you know a guy named Greg Yows in Austin?
Greg Yows.
You should hook up with him. He's he does a website that reposts all our stuff, and he's a fan. I'm gonna hook you up with him.
Okay, cool. Yeah, always willing to meet with fellow fiends.
Yeah,
it's always a blast. But I guess you didn't really have much of a comment on the Minutemen and the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, but I did. I said I agreed it was okay to use that image. I had no problem with it.
Right.
What we did do,
the whole war was justified.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just repeating something. I'm just parroting Lou Rockwell, and he's old, so I don't know. Should I?
Well, here's what I would say. You know, if there were redcoats marching down my street right now, and I knew what they were up to, I don't think I would be morally wrong if they were shooting at my neighbors to shoot back at them. I don't feel like that'd be wrong.
Well, an interesting thing is the history book explanation of that. You know, not just public school, but the like almost every book you read about that says, you know, they stood up in lines and they waited for the redcoats to fire on them, and they didn't fire until the redcoats fired on them. And I read a book, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a really well researched biography of who's the guy that rode through the streets warning everybody?
Paul Revere.
Yeah, Paul Revere. That basically says the first shot was fired by the American side. Like, they got tired of waiting, and the shot heard around the world came from our side, not the English side.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. I guess back in the day, it's kind of hard to verify one way or the other, huh?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I have a relative that was in that war. My great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was in that war. And my brother actually joined, you know, was able to prove that and joined the Sons of the American Revolution, which I think is a kind of dubious organization from what I've heard about them. You know, at best, they are a bunch of, ooh, we lived through our ancestors, you know, kind of like mental reenactors, and at worst possibly have done some racist things at some point. I don't know, but.
Huh. I didn't even know you had a brother. I thought you just had sisters.
No. Well, that's because I talk about my sisters. I don't talk about my brother because I don't think about him much. I don't dislike him. I don't really know my brother. He was in college when I was born, you know. I mean, I talk to you more in a week than I talk to him in a year. You know, we talk on Christmas, and we talk once in a while and exchange a couple emails, but I really don't know the guy very well. He's, how old is he? He's 60-something.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'll be damned.
His name's James Dean.
Nice. You know what? Now that you mention it, I think you have talked about him before.
Yeah, he was named that. He was born around the time of the actor. You know, he's not named after him.
Right. Hmm. So, but you would never join the organization Sons of the American Revolution?
No.
Would you join an organization Fathers of the New American Revolution?
No. I'd get droned, and I don't want to have to fight a revolution.
Yeah.
Although interesting Appleseed, you know, the traveling riflemanship training organization, yeah. Which is, they're good people. The 501c3 that runs them is called the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. And I've worn their shirt and it says that on it. And people are like, you don't look old enough to be a veteran of the Revolutionary War.
Not the old one.
I'm 246 years old. I was 12 when I fought in the Revolutionary War. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think violent revolution will really do much good at this point. Or really at any point. But, you know, as far as
George W. Bush, revolution. George W. Bush was a member of the Sons of the American Revolution.
Ah,
so was Winston Churchill, Jimmy Carter, Calvin Coolidge, Gerald Ford, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Ulysses Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, Lyndon Johnson, Henry Cabot Lodge.
So a bunch of evil presidents.
Theodore Roosevelt, FDR. Anything that has FDR and George Bush in it is not an organization I'd want to belong to.
Yeah, I don't want to. That's not good company. Those are not good people. Speaking of that phrase, you brought that up, the phrase good people. Eric Peters had a great article on that and how, you know, people who are Republicans and Democrats, they'll be like, oh, he's good people or they're good people. And a lot of times they'll even refer to politicians like, oh, I think Barack Obama is a good person. Eric brings up a great point in a very short sentence. He says, good people don't have victims. And that's how you'll know who is a good person or not. And I think we all know that Barack Obama has an extensive list of victims, as does George W. Bush, and pretty much any American president, right?
There's a picture, an image meme going around that says it's a picture of the Dalai Lama, and it says one Nobel Peace Prize doesn't have a kill list. and I posted that, and this friend of mine who used to who's from Israel and is not Zionistic but used to be in the Israeli army, who's American, well, been American for 20 years.
Did he go to – so if you grew up in Israel, you have to be in the army, right?
Right. But he has – I guess the reason I'm saying he has quite a knowledge of world history. And the firsthand experience of having been in the Israeli army. When I posted that thing that says, you know, one Nobel Peace Prize doesn't have a kill list, my friend posted, don't be so sure, and listed like some Nazis that were like, you know, teachers of the current Dalai Lama.
Oh, huh. Well, I'll be damned.
Yup.
Yeah. I saw the Dalai Lama speak once. I've probably said it before, but he was pretty cool to hear speak, although it was at an age when I also that year saw Bill Clinton speak at my university and thought it was just the coolest thing and was felt honored to have shook his hand and had a little autograph of his picture that he signed. And I was just like, oh, Bill Clinton. As a freshman in college, so I don't know if I would agree with everything he says if I saw him speak again, now being an anarchist.
Yeah, I mean he's a leader of a state. It's a state in exile, but
Although, but, you know, I loved his ending. He said if you want to look more into my points, go ahead and research them. You know, there's several books. If not, fuck it.
Did he say that? Did he say fuck it?
He said fuck it.
He didn't say fuck it.
Swear to God.
He said that to you?
No, he said it to the audience.
You heard him say it. You heard the Dalai Lama say fuck it.
I heard the Dalai Lama say fuck it.
No, you didn't.
I did. I don't know if he didn't understand what he was saying at the point, but he said fuck it.
Did people applaud?
He got a huge laugh. Yes, he got a huge laugh, and people thought it was awesome. That was the last thing he said, and then he left.
Okay, there's a video of this on YouTube. The Dalai Lama says fuck it. This might even be at the event you're at. Let me see this.
Is it University of Texas?
I don't know, man. Oh, the comments say he's saying forget it, not fuck it.
And also say fuck it.
He is. I think this is the one you're talking about.
He said he's the comments say he's saying forget it.
He said fuck it.
Fuck it.
He said fuck it. I don't know. There's a lot of white people in the audience. Is that you, Texas?
Could be. Yeah. I mean, University of Texas is probably half Asian, 30% white, a little Hispanic, a little black.
Dalai Lama says fuck it. Oh my God. Well, this is from 2008. Well, that's when it was uploaded, but
Yeah, it would have been 2007, I think. No, maybe it was 2008. Yeah, because
I might call this episode "Dalai Lama Says Fuck It."
That'd be good for SEO.
Yes, it would. I'm going to do it.
Nice.
Dalai Lama says fuck it. He's also said something about guns, like, you know, if someone tries to kill you, you should shoot them. But then he says, like, but you should try to shoot them in the leg. Which is just not having a clear understanding of firearm use.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, first of all, because shooting someone in the leg isn't necessarily going to stop them from trying to kill you. Secondly, it's extremely hard when someone's moving to shoot you or kill you or stab you. It's hard to aim for something as small as the leg. You know, the chest is a lot easier to hit.
Center mass is probably what you want to aim for. Although in video games, like in Red Dead Redemption, I was fond of in duels disarming people because you get extra points, and it's kind of like, oh, I'm a badass. You want to duel me? I'll shoot the gun right out of your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that's realistic.
That's movie bullshit.
That's movie bullshit. Yeah. Although on one of those reality shows where they show clips of cool things that police did, you know, state TV kind of stuff, there was one thing I saw where some guy was – you know, threatening to commit suicide. He was sitting in a lawn chair or something, had a gun, and apparently one of the government sharpshooters was able to shoot the gun out of his hand, and it was pretty cool video.
I did see that, but that was a guy who was stationary in a chair, and it was a sniper. It was a sniper with a rifle
who set up his shot.
Who sat there, and it wasn't someone's running at you with a knife at close distance.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, well, that is a pretty badass video, though. I've seen that. Yeah. Yeah. So let's say defile.
Yep.
So the Air Force had another crash. It wasn't a drone. It was an Osprey, which is a plane, but crashed into Florida.
That can also land like a helicopter. Like it's these big, giant
vertical takeoff.
Side.
Yep. It crashed at a Florida base, injured 5. I have a theory that they're going to blame this and the drone crashes on hackers and then try to take over the internet. Like everyone has to have a national internet license.
I hope not, but you know they love to have scapegoats, and
you know
that's a plausible one for them.
You know, there's a
at least
there's a bill that's being, I don't know what stage it's at. I think it's being discussed, and I think it's going to die. But that would require anyone who posts anything on the internet to post their name, address, and phone number next to their comment.
What? Yeah, I've heard about them talking about getting rid of anonymity on the web. And so I guess that'd be one way to do it. But your address?
I think people would be a lot more polite if they had to do that. Yeah, I don't know. I think that would get people killed, man. I think it'd get people killed.
It would, because even if you're polite and reasonable, there are people that are crazy. I mean, you don't want to
give your
address on the internet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, look at those people that are being haters on Ian. Although those people probably know Ian's address because they probably live across the street from him.
Right, right. Could you do a P.O. box?
I don't know. Probably not.
Something like that.
Probably not. You used to be able to do everything with a P.O. box, but the Patriot Act kind of stopped that.
They want to know where you live.
I used to, my driver's license in California, I used to have my P.O. box on it. You can't do that anymore.
No. I hate driver's licenses, man. It's so annoying.
Yeah. So the source code for eavesdropping on Skype is in the wild and can be downloaded now. So Skype is absolutely no longer secure, which is why we recommend Mumble, which is what we're using to record this conversation, which is why this probably sounds about 5% worse than our great stellar Wednesday casts usually sound. But Nima's with his family, and I said, you know, why take the afternoon to have to upload these files to me? Let me just record it all on Mumble on my end. And you're like, yes.
Yes. I do appreciate that. I was going to suggest that myself, but I'm glad you beat me to the punch.
Well, I've gotten compliments on the Sunday cast, which are recorded live with Mumble, that they sound really good. Yeah. And it's weird. It's kind of like the file coming out of Mumble doesn't sound really good, but once I do my voodoo magic on the other end, which I can do really – they sound really good, which I can do that voodoo magic now with a lot faster, man. My 16 gigs of RAM on my computer, I mean, you know, they make outputting high-def video tolerably fast. They make dealing with audio files like instantaneous, you know.
That's awesome. How what is your voodoo magic? As far as I know, it's EQ and some normalizing. Any other secrets or tips and tricks you have, if you want to get on a gear tip here?
Not with our normal Wednesday cast that are recorded double ender, and we're both recording 16-bit 44.1 stereo waves.
We're recording settings anyway.
Yeah, but Mumble records something else, so I have to do resampling and bit rate conversion before I do the normalization and EQ.
Ah, okay. So somehow crunching down the bit rate actually makes it sound better.
Yep. I don't know why. I mean, well, generally,
I've heard that with simple sounds. Like a lot of people do that with some hip hop drums. In fact, there's a feature for it on my drum machine / sampler called Grungealizer, which basically just crunches the bit rate down. And for simple sounds, it can actually make them sound cleaner if you don't overdo it. If you just reduce them by a certain amount.
I mean, it sounds like voodoo because generally, when you reduce the bit rate of something, you make it sound worse.
Yeah, for instance, never download an MP3 that's like below 128K or it'll sound noticeably horrible.
Never use an MP3 and then reconvert it to an MP3 if you can help it. It makes it sound bad.
Right.
You know, like that's one of the things I say in my film school book. Like, okay, if your buddy in another state sends you MP3s to use in your soundtrack of your movie.
Ask him to send you waves.
Yeah, or even like, if he doesn't have the capacity to do that, put the MP3s in while you're editing it, but then before you output it, get waves from him on a CD or something,
a CD.
But there's something about sometimes compressing things, not only does the math of reducing the file size of it, it also does something good. It's really weird. Like one thing I've noticed, okay, the DIY or Die movie, which was shot on mini DV, which is much lower resolution than what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. When we output that to a DVD, it actually looked better on the DVD. You know, we didn't do any extra color correction or anything. Like the final thing we had, the mini DV tape, because I took this around and showed it at theaters and I showed it on 100 different setups, like everything from, a TV in someone's basement to in a 500 seat theater that had a really professional digital projector.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd show it, I'd plug my camera into the projector and show it from the mini DV tape. And then once the DVD came out, I'd show it from the DVD. And the DVD somehow looked better on a screen projected than the direct from the mini DV tape, which was actually higher resolution slightly.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess there is some kind of – there probably is science behind it, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, it's probably something like, the DVD encoding includes some sort of
sweetener.
Sweetener, yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to the encoding.
I could see that, yeah. Sweet.
I'm hearing birds chirp in Utah.
I know. Is that yours or is that mine?
Let me see. Hang on. Oh, that's mine. I have my window open. It's really nice here today.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful here too. I guess it's beautiful out west.
It is. It is.
It really is, man. We drove from Washington. We passed through Oregon and Idaho, and just the rolling hills are so beautiful. We actually went and visited a dam a couple of weeks ago.
Ooh, you cussed.
I was hoping they'd have that in the gift shop. I went to visit the something something dam, and all I got was this damn t-shirt. There was some joke in there, but I didn't say
Utah
it.
Utah probably would not allow that.
Probably not. But dams are pretty cool. I mean, I know I'm still an anarchist. I'm not saying the government did something good by damming things, but they're pretty amazing feats of human engineering.
They really are. And that technology existed 90 years ago. I mean, how old is the Hoover Dam?
I'm not sure. But I think the dam I visited, it's called the Ice Harbor Dam.
1936, it was finished.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So that's old.
Of course, FDR made it.
Go, go, freedom fiends. Forces of hell.
rock. Ain't never gonna stop in a Glasgow blow.
Right.
You know, the
right.
thing about dams is morally, they're really a quandary. Like, even if they were built by the private market, they'd be a quandary because it's pretty impossible to build a dam of that scale without getting a bunch of people to give up their property.
Well, if you bought their property, I guess the moral quandary for me that I was expecting when you said that was how it affects people downriver. Like, it'll change the water flow, the water rights. I mean, I guess that's part of the reason why there are such a thing as water rights is because people want some kind of stake in ownership for something like a river, which, you know, originates somewhere miles, thousands and thousands of miles away from where you're at.
In the American South, when they were wiring it, they flooded a lot of farms. And, like, you know, some people were stubborn and didn't get out and were killed, you know, they were flooded.
Was that the whole Tennessee Valley Authority
stuff? That's actually sort of the plot point of the God in the Basket in the end of that movie. What's the movie that's based on Homer's Odyssey?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
The God in the Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah, in the end, the sheriffs and KKK or whatever are going to kill our heroes and they're all tied up and ready to kill them.
Yep, they're going to get hung.
And the valley gets flooded.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is a pretty good movie.
That's an amazing movie, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have
great
trouble.
Great soundtrack, too. Like, I never really knew what bluegrass
beautiful,
was.
Man. Or, beautiful.
It's amazing. So you should check both of those things out, soundtrack and the movie.
I'm just a man of constant sorrow. That's a great song.
Yeah. The Soggy Bottom Boys.
Yeah. It's funny, man.
Great name, too, for a band.
Funny. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so I don't know. I'm still an anarchist, but I think dams are cool.
Well,
in a way,
there are a lot of things produced by governments that I have no problem saying that's cool.
Yeah.
That would exist in a free market. And I'd say that's even cooler. And you know, I usually have a problem really going, that's cool, because I'm like, that's cool, but
yeah. Well, I guess it's important to have sort of that nuanced thinking of things because people, you know, well, roads are cool. We have roads because of the government. No. And also there's the seen and unseen kind of things. Another government thing that provides some sort of benefit, but at what cost was I have a friend here and he's an Anglophile, like listens to British music all day long. And British bands are really good. There's something about them. They have a lot more influences and can switch between many genres in one song and a lot more versatile. And I was like, you know, why is it that all these British bands seem so much more to have much more musical chops than a lot of American bands? And my friend was like, well, I think part of it is because in Britain, at least back in the day, I don't know if this has changed because of quote unquote austerity, but in Britain, you could actually be put on the dole, you know, they call it, where you get welfare. If you're a musician, you could show, hey, I'm trying to be a musician, I'm aspiring here, give me government money so I can spend 40 hours a week practicing with my band. And so, you know, it's really good for music, but obviously it's not really good for society. And who gets to make that choice? And it are the people who give up their money and are paying for all these musicians to hang out, smoke pot, and play their guitars. I'm sure they're not happy.
I knew a lot of people in San Francisco that did that, but they got on SSI, which is crazy money.
What's that?
Which is SSI. It's basically Social Security for people who are too mentally screwed
like unemployable?
Up to work. Yeah.
Ah.
And it pays better than welfare. Yeah, back in the 90s, really? It was like $650 a month, whereas welfare was like $300 a month.
So,
and welfare.
And I guess that's the thing. When you have this system, people have an incentive to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and welfare.
It's not necessarily, I mean, they're just looking out for their own self-interest, right?
With welfare, they want to be in a band. With welfare, you're supposed to look for a job. With SSI, you don't. You have to go you know, maybe see a psychiatrist once in a while, but yeah.
Ah, wow. Does that still exist?
Yeah, but not in that way. Not in the way that, you know, musicians can go in and act stoned and get it. It's more, you know, you have to be missing a limb or something or have been institutionalized.
Yeah.
Ah, good times, good times.
Being institutionalized?
No. Just I'm being sarcastic.
You think you're thinking about your San Francisco days.
Yeah, and all the good music that came out of there by the weirdos on SSI.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Any bands in particular you're thinking of that you knew that were on SSI?
Helios Creed.
I think he was in your DIY or nope. Die film, wasn't he? No.
Nope. He should have been.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yep. Is there any Helios Creed fans out there? I actually named a Helios Creed song. I'm friends with Helios, and God, what's he has a song, something about Martian bagpipes and sperm, I think it's called. And he says I made that up. I don't remember it, but I've hung out with him a lot, up all night for various reasons, chatting with him. So I probably did.
Martian bagpipes and sperm.
Yeah.
Is that what the song sounded like?
He's great. You ever heard him?
Helios Creed? No, I mean, maybe. Not that I know of.
He's done music with Butthole Surfers, and he's the that song is on a record called Lactating Purple, which my friend Bean plays bass on. Paul Kirk, who was in the Bean Weevils. We've played a couple of his songs on here, and he was in my band Slish.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. San Francisco incestuous music scene.
Yeah. Sounds like it could be a line from a Houston rapper talking about how much syrup they drank.
Lactating syrup purple.
Since their mom was lactating purple.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's an awesome interview coming up this Saturday on the Anarchy Gumbo with Fiends fan Kevin McKernan, who's the DNA sequencer of marijuana. And he also worked on the Human Genome Project and is actually – he's one of the few people I know, probably the only person I know, who has been invited to the White House. And he's been there not once, but twice. So the episode is called From the White House to the Freedom Fiends.
Nice. Yeah, and he's an amazingly smart guy.
I couldn't keep up.
On that show with Stephanie Murphy, what's that show called?
Pork Therapy.
Pork Therapy. Yeah, I heard his interview on there, and that was just amazing. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. That's coming out this weekend, huh?
Yep. And I'm going to have him back a second time because we were just getting going after 90 minutes. I mean, he's so brilliant.
Nice. Good deal. Well, anything else on the Fiends agenda today?
Harry Reid is calling for passing a larger exit tax for people who make a bunch of money and don't want to give it to America and leave, like the co-founder of Facebook.
So is this related to the Expatriate Act that
is that what it's called?
About?
The Expatriate Act?
There was – I don't know if this is the same thing Harry Reid's doing, but I think it was Chuck Schumer co-sponsored or sponsored a bill called the Expatriate Act. That was basically – that was the essence, is it would allow for – a lot more disincentives for people who were trying to leave the country after making
leave
money.
The plantation.
Leave the plantation, right? You must kiss your firstborn before you leave the plantation.
Yeah. That's so square, man.
Completely square.
Harry Reid is so square.
Yeah, yeah. He's a politician, just like all of them, man. He says what he thinks will get
him votes. He's an uber politician, though, man. I mean, they're all government thugs, but there's a few that really stand out, man. Harry Reid, Chuck Schumer. Oh, Chuck Schumer is the founder of this, wrote this bill, not Harry Reid.
Okay, so yeah.
But I'm sure Harry Reid will vote.
Expatriate Act.
I'm sure Harry Reid will vote for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if Washington, D.C. just sort of fell off the face of the earth?
When the Schumer hits the fan?
When the Schumer hits the fan. Just disappeared.
That's how polite people who don't want to curse, who are preppers, say when the shit hits the fan.
When Schumer hits the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a line about it in Guns N' Weed in one of the songs.
What is that line, Nima?
I think it's when the Schumer hits the fan, I'll be surviving with my band with more AK ammo than all Afghanistan.
That's a great line, man. It's a great line. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, a line that people quote all the time that they really like too is the "I'm so hard, bitch, I carry two in the chamber." someone from another country recently asked me, "Is that a joke or is that something that is possible?"
I guess it would be possible, but it's not a joke, very good man. Idea.
Yeah, it is possible, and we have a little segment on how to clear that when it happens in the gun training video.
Yes, it would be a malfunction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun hip-hop. I mean, that's the beauty of hip-hop, right? You can say outrageous things like that as a joke and have it be hilarious and I don't know, outrageous
poignant.
At the same time.
Poignant.
Poignant. That's the word I was looking for.
I know. I could hear you. I could hear your brain twitching in that direction.
Brain was twitching, yeah. You could hear it over the mumble. See, in a mumble, you can actually hear brain twitches, unlike Skype.
Yeah, it has. Well, it's a plug-in. You have to get the brain twitching, the thought reading software that the government can't access.
Yeah, yeah. At least we don't think they can.
So make sure all your screens are intact. If the government is building bug-size flying bugs to spy on you. Yeah.
Although I guess you would have to do some extra work. I mean, bugs still get into houses even when the screens are on, right?
I know. What's going to happen when a cat goes? My cats eat moths all the time, man. What's going to happen?
When a cat kills a government mosquito drone.
Yeah. Are they going to like kick in my door and take my cat apart to get it back? Yeah.
The drone will probably self-destruct and kill the cat.
Yeah.
Government drones will be killing cats.
So I wanted to call this episode "I Hate the State and the Hate and the, I Hate the State and the State Hates Me."
Why?
But I really like the Dalai Lama says "fuck it."
Says "fuck it."
There's this song by this punk rock band called the Anti Nowhere League, and the song's called "I Hate People, They Hate Me," which I'll put that and it'll probably be the first time that anybody that the Dalai Lama and the Anti Nowhere League have ever shared a virtual stage
in the same media. Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I wanted to re-record that and make it, "Oh, I hate the state. The state hates me." But I thought it was stupid. So I like the song though. It's funny. I don't really hate people, but I don't like a lot of them, and a lot of them don't like me. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess if the state is people, I hate those people.
Yeah.
I don't hate the people. Fine. I hate the sin, not the sinner.
There you go. You know,
I hate the state in their brains.
I think we're at our end here.
We're at the end.
The state's insane in the membrane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. What are you going to do today, Nima?
I'm actually going to have barbecue with all my Salt Lake peeps. Are going to come down and we're going to eat a bunch of meat and veggie meat because my cousin and his whole family are vegetarians, as is my wife. So it'll be a nice shindig of people from all sorts of different beliefs, all getting together, drinking beer and eating.
Going to be any good Persian food? Some lamb kebabs? Lamb kebabs?
Yeah. We are going to have kebabs. I don't think we're going to have lamb. I wish I could have convinced my dad to get a lamb and slaughter it, but it's hard to find around here.
Put your sins on it and send it out into the suburbs as your scapegoat.
My dad and my uncle did that once when I was a kid, and I remember being very disturbed by it.
They slaughtered a lamb, or they put their sins on a goat and sent it off into the suburbs.
I don't think they put their sins on it, but we went over to my uncle's house for a barbecue, and there was a lamb there, and I was petting it. And, oh, lamb. Yeah. And they were going to eat it, and so my mom took me to McDonald's instead, which I guess is really just passing the buck. I mean, that cow got slaughtered as horribly as the lamb. Probably
did they slit its throat?
The lamb. I'm assuming they did. I mean, you want to properly bleed it, right? I didn't see it. My mom took me away and took me to McDonald's. So,
well, do they eat halal?
You know, I doubt it, but I bet a lot of that is in the culture. I don't think they do it to be halal because, you know, my family's not religious like that.
Yeah, but there's much crossover universally between culture and religion within
exactly.
a culture.
So,
you know,
so the way they did it probably originated from halal, or maybe even halal originated from the way people traditionally did things before that, you know?
Yeah. They just made it law. Or you won't get into heaven if you break the law.
Yeah.
That's the scariest kind of law. I was thinking about that. It's kind of like, you know, I think that the reason the church took off was the various religions took off, the various Abrahamic religions, you know that term?
Yeah, yeah. Or Semitic religions. Yeah, well, I guess Abraham would be more specific.
It would include, Abrahamic religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They're the ones that all came
religions
because,
that believe that Abraham and God are all in their origin stories.
No, they were founded by descendants of Abraham.
Well, yeah, I guess they claim to be descendants of Abraham. I mean, how easy is it to know that, though? Could we really trace back Muhammad to Abraham?
You can't check his government ID.
Right.
You can't look him up in the Social Security rolls.
Or test his DNA back then.
Yeah. But, I think they can, actually. I think there's people who use DNA testing to prove lineage with, you know, because there are like historically people who are known and provable to have been an ancestor of person X, and then other people get DNA testing to prove, yes, I was related to this divine person or whatever.
although Muhammad is said to have ascended to heaven. So if you were to say, I'm testing Muhammad, the DNA of Muhammad's body, you would be a blasphemer.
Yep. But anyway, yeah, I think that a big reason a lot of those religions spread was because it was enforcement of things that kings and people in power and rich people wanted, where they couldn't necessarily enforce because they didn't have cops on every corner and didn't want to afford that and didn't have the communication ability to connect them to where, you know, it's like, yeah, we can throw you in a cage, but your life's so miserable anyway, you're not going to care if we put you to death. So we have to hold a gun to your eternal soul.
Right. Yeah. If you're in a cage, hey, you get to sit down in a night in the shade, have food, not be in the slave fields, you know, picking cotton or what. I guess it wasn't cotton back then, but not be slaving away in the hot sun, basically. So.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Worms.
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 Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.